How many of you feel real dumb? Would all of you say, Christine, do you feel real dumb?
Yes.
Marilyn? Do you feel real dumb when it comes to systematic theology and some of these real dumb, real hard things? How about Sharon?
Oh, yeah.
You feel real dumb? How about it, Roger? I remember, was it a couple of days ago, Sunday evening, Brett came here. And you guys voted to do systematic theology. Oh, he said, I know all about that. And I said, wait. And when I got to, he said, I don't know anything. Zero. I have to start all over again. Well, one of our students, Marna, in Australia, and Don and her family, Marna listens to all of our classes. And Marna thinks she doesn't know very much. She's not very smart. That's when you begin to realize you know. That's when you can begin to learn. When you think you don't know anything, that's when you begin to learn. That's it. That's the time. When you think you know it, forget it. You can't be taught. But when you see things that is so amazing to you that it just blows you away. I've had people all over. One of my real good friends that I talked on the radio with probably close to 50 years. I preached a sermon how that God was like a computer. There's hardware and software and energy. Ah. He said, wow, this is it. You know, there's what fires it, the software and the hardware. And I made that illustration, and I preached that sermon. I don't know whether Sharon, when you were there, when I did that or not. I don't think Marilyn was.
She was sick. That's a good one.
Huh?
That's a real good one.
That's it. It's the way it is. Now, Sharon, when you first started studying systematic theology, you thought we were being really arrogant because we're trying to say this is the way God thinks. Theology, systematic theology, means a systematic study of theology, of God. Now, we have a whole lot of error out there, don't we? How many of you, Marilyn, have you ever been subjected to error, theological error, in church?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Christine?
Yes.
Almost every time you go to church?
Yes, and I almost can't keep my mouth shut.
Sharon?
Yeah, and I pick it up, and I, the more I know, the more I catch it, you know.
The more you catch it, Brother Roger?
It's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, Brother Roger?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see it, and you wonder where your pastor went to church. Pamela was here this Sunday, and she said, Dr. Jim, now I got to tell you something. My pastor, she went to this church, and the pastor said something about Tulip. And she went up and she asked him after the service, she says, do you know what Tulip means? He said, no. She said, do you know what Tulip means? She said, yes. Total hereditary privity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. He said, wow. I didn't know that. So we see things here in our little group. Now, our little group starts here. But our little group goes all over to India. We have a lot of listeners in India and China. And we have two different groups, at least, that I know of in Australia. We have a lot of downloads in Australia. We have a lot of downloads in Africa and in many Middle East countries. We have them. I don't know whether they're listening to me to combat me as the Jehovah Witnesses did. You know, the Jehovah Witness Watchtower called me and talked to me on the phone for 3 hours because I'm their worst enemy. And so they look at me as their worst threat. I'm one of the worst threats to Jehovah Witness theology. And it's going out there all over the world. And they wanted to know, and I talked to them about the cross. I talked to him about the word logos and ha the bar and all that. And I said, now, I'm not going to argue with you, but I'll talk to you all day to tell you what the Bible says. Well, he said, I know you are a scholar. I have never seen anything like it. I think the reason why they talked to me is so they could answer me. if it's possible. It's not really possible. You have to twist the Word of God up to show that Jesus Christ isn't God, the eternal God Jehovah, because that's who He is. He is the eternal God Jehovah. Well, we're on page 228. Conscious means double knowledge. Did you know that? Conscience, that means double knowledge. Double knowledge. We have a conscience. Now, the conscience of a lost man and the conscience of a saved man are a whole lot different, aren't they? The conscience of the saved man is basically, if you're going down a road at 90 miles an hour in a 50-mile-hour zone, you are looking for red lights. Well, if you walk into a store and you have your little concealed weapon and you don't have a permit for it and you pull it out to the 7-Eleven store to stop and rob, you know that if you do this, there could be red lights. There could be red lights. That's wrong. It's not accepted in society. The only problem is that our governor keeps turning them out on the street. Well, in ham radio, I'm on ham radio every day, nearly. And I have a lot of people out there that listen to our classes from ham radio. If you go look at the guest book, you'll see ham radio call signs all over the place. And they expect me to be out there. If I don't get out there on the radio, and I've been gone for a couple of days off the radio, what happens, Marilyn? Tone, phone calls, and emails. Where are you? If I don't put sermons out there for 4 or 5 days, guess what? Christine calls me. What are you doing? Or email. People email me. What are you doing? Are you okay? So I try to feed my sheep, whether they're here or there or whatever. Sharon, you're responsible for this class tonight. Because I had a million things going on. When I'm down here in California, I do not preach the amount of messages here that I do when I'm in Nevada, because I have more time to do it there. I have less stress. And here, always something's popping. When I went in there a while ago, left this room, 3 times the phone rang. 1 time I answered it. 2 times I let it go, because I wouldn't get to the class. But conscience. See, you are my conscience today. I needed to do this. Tomorrow I will be here at 6 o'clock doing this also. So at least I'll do part of what I'm supposed to do. And I try to do 3 messages on Sunday. And sometimes I do 4 messages. I have done as many as 5 in one day. This needs to be done. Conscience. We have conscience as a saved person. And our conscience as a saved person is written in stone in the Bible, isn't it? That's what it is. It says, a joint or double knowledge is the knowledge of self in relation to a known law or right and wrong. On ham radio, the FCC has stopped patrolling and fining and policing. And it has become an absolute free-for-all. And they have these idiots out there just talking horrible, racial, vulgar, horrible things. A lot of satanic stuff out there. And I am the other side. And I say, when you don't have law and order, you have anarchy. And right now, there is anarchy there. In some countries, there is anarchy. Go down to Mexico. Mexico is an anarchy in many ways. The criminals just are running the country. Conscience, there is a real standard of right and wrong. in the age of conscience, right here, man was supposed to do good and offer a blood sacrifice. That was in the days of what? Of Adam. And it went all the way to Noah. Did it work? No. Mankind doesn't want to do that. It just doesn't want to. The failure is that they did wickedness, great wickedness. And in Genesis, the sixth chapter, we see all of that. We won't go all into that right now. But there's rampant wickedness. The sons of Cain were murdering and killing each other. And the others, the angels, had broke in outside of their boundaries and had become procreating with women, raising a race of Nephilim, maybe even animal crossbreeds. Evidently, angels can crossbreed with whatever because they are what? Supernatural. Is God able to bring forth a child in Mary? All right, that's supernatural, and that was prophesied in Genesis 3:15, and also in Genesis 3:15 was prophesied what else, Sharon?
That Satan would also have a child.
That Satan would also have at least one child, literally. So we know that's possible. And people always say, oh, well, Jesus said in the resurrection there are neither marriage or given marriage as the angels were in heaven. We're not talking about the angels in heaven. We're talking about the angels elsewhere. Now let's go on. Self in relation to a known law of right and wrong. The term conscience never occurs in the Old Testament, but it appears 30 times in the New Testament. It comes from the Greek word synaidesis. Synaidesis, which means to know together. Like conscience, almost the same thing. Which means an accompanying knowledge. It is knowing of our moral acts and states in connection with our moral standard or law, which is conceived as our true self. Morality. Morality. You know what morality is? Civilization. Civilization. And all groups of people all over the world, whether they know God directly through the Bible or they know some deity that they're trying to appease, they know stealing and murder and all this is not okay, is it? And when you, in the American Indian groups, here in this country, there was a moral law. A moral law. If you had a child, Sharon, or Christine, or Roger, if you had a child that grew up, now you're supposed to teach that child the right way, aren't you? That's number one. You're supposed to teach that child the right way. Now, every tribe was a family. And the tribe crossed, they would, from other tribes, they would get wives and husbands and things. They will dealt with each other. But if you raised a child that was not civilized, and it became so bad that it wasn't civilized, it would come to the parents to either ban that child from the tribe, and they would join some outlaw tribes that were just terrible, like Comancheros. They were outlaws. They were rejects. The Comancheros were rejects. They were of different tribes, and they were outlaws among those that, and if they were so bad and thought that they would be totally dangerous to all society, then the mother and the father were supposed to kill the child to save the rest of the world. You brought them into the world, you take care of your problem. Do it. Boy, that makes you straighten up, doesn't it? It makes you give standards. It was your job to do away with a danger to society. It didn't always work because the Comancheros. How many of you knew that? Did you learn something about that? This is conscience. We're talking about conscience. There's conscience among all people. It is a knowing of our moral acts and states in connection with some moral standard or law which is conceived as our true self and therefore as having authority over us. More specifically, conscience is discriminative and impulsive. It declares our acts and states to conform or not to conform with the standard of society. What is society? Civilization. People try to live together. It declares those acts and states which conform to be obligatory. The office of conscience is to bear witness to Romans 2:15, which I think I have down here someplace. Let's look here, all the way back up. For all have sinned without the law will perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. What kind of revelation you have? I always say people will be judged by the light that they have. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, what is that? Conscience. These, not having the law, are a law to themselves. This is society. This is civilization. And that they show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. Their what? Their conscience. Bearing witness and their thoughts alternately accusing or defending them. But it says on that day, or on the day, when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Now, conscience. Like every faculty of the human being, the soul is undeveloped and ended. What is the soul? We've studied that. Is man triune or is he dual? He's triune. Okay? What part of man is the soul, Brother Roger? You remember? The thinking process. That's the thinker. That's where you live, is your soul. What part of man is spirit, Sharon?
The life.
The life that's in you. What part of man is flesh, Chris? The body. We see each other by our flesh, but we know each other by what? Our minds. When a child is born, you begin to educate that child's soul. It is your job to educate your children's souls. Christine, did you religiously educate your children's souls?
Yes, and I still don't think I did enough.
Yeah. How about it, Sharon?
I put everything into it, but I'm looking at it now going like, there's some places they're rough.
There is will. Yes. There's will involved, isn't there? How about it, Brother Roger?
I think I fell down on that.
We have to develop our children's souls. Marilyn? I know your soul wasn't developed. I know that. But was it their job to do it? Your parents' job to develop your soul. A sense of right and wrong. A sense of going into the world and being successful as a person. You need to know what right and wrong is, and you have to see it also. You have to see it. You have to know what right and wrong is. We need to develop our children's souls and form them in the way that God will hold us. He will hold us accountable for doing that, won't he? You think your parents, are you going to get out of not doing that, Christine? Are we going to answer for how we raise our children? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do. Some children were raised as spiritual orphans in this world. And what is our world? Why are we having all this killing and shooting all over the world? Why all the killing? Because these people don't have a conscience. They don't know right from wrong, do they? In all reality. We need, President Trump said the other day, we have all these killings and all these shootings because we don't have in Christian homes. And these people don't know what's right and wrong. When you don't have law and order, when you don't have spiritual understanding in a person's life, then you can be like Cain's group. Murder and chaos. Conscience is very important. Raising your children with conscience. The lack of conscience, this is what we call sociopaths. Sociopaths. You know, my stepfather raised me. I loved him very much. I just almost worshipped him. He taught me a lot of stuff. He was pretty dishonest, but he always taught me right and wrong. Don't do as I say, but do as I do. I mean, don't do as I do as I say, is what he used to say. And he told me what was right and wrong. He did. He taught me how to work hard and everything. And I'll tell you one thing about him. He cheated a lot of people in this world. But there was a limit. He never hurt his mother. He never touched her. He always respected her in a great honor. Now, I have seen mothers and fathers robbed and abused horribly. That's what we call sociopaths. Sociopathic society. No conscience. No conscience. God gives every person a conscience until that conscience is seared. Savages in the world have a conscience. Sitting Bull, which is one of my relatives in the Hunkapapa Sioux, Lakota. Sioux means cutthroat. That's what the white people and the French called us, cutthroats. We were human beings. Lakota means human being, one of the human beings. We're one of the civilized people. They kept telling Sitting Bull that he was a savage. And he would say, you know something? I don't understand this. There's something about this I don't understand. He went to Europe. But he never went to Europe and stole anything from anybody. He never went to Europe and just killed animals all over the place without a purpose. He said, you go out in the plains and our food, you kill buffalo without a conscience. And you just leave them lay. Those animals are my brothers. You killed all of these people, all of these brothers, without a reason. Just for their skins? Just for their tongue? And then you go out and gather the bones up for fertilizer? Because you would devastate a whole race of human beings, he said, or people. The Tataka, the buffalo people. He said, I never did this. I never went over there and claimed their land and pushed them away. He said, my people, we had treaties with other people, other human beings. You come over here and you make treaties with us and you break those treaties and you call God as a witness and smoke the pipe and say, here is God right now. God, see our smoke, see our breath. we are accountable for what we say here. Forever. He says, and you break your word to God, and you are not a savage, and I am a savage, because I have a conscience, I am a savage. Which one of us is the savage? He said. You all are me and my people. Which one of us are savages? Which one? He said, you came into my country and I protected my country and my family. And I killed your people because you trespassed on mine and you murdered my people. You came into villages and you shot them down with guns. You stabbed my people. You killed babies. I didn't do this to you. I didn't go to Washington, D.C. and attack Washington, D.C. And I'm a savage. And you're not. Society can become very savage, can it? One thing society owes its constituents is what? Justice. Justice is a conscience. Justice is a conscience. Let's think about all this. On page 229, conscience is proved by the fact that the long hardened sinners are often aroused by the accusing, condemning testimony of conscience. So that they experience great agonies and remorse, also by the fact that this accusing conscience will produce the chief torment of lost souls. The chief torment of lost souls. Looking for a paper I had in here, but it has disappeared. No. Thank you. With regard to the second, we repeat the conscience judges according to the standard given to it. How we raise a child, how we educate the soul, is how that child will react to civilization and society. You have to teach a child that the enemy is not a human being before he will go there and murder them. Don't you? If the moral standard accepted by the intellect is imperfect, the decisions of conscience, though relatively just, may be wholly unjust. Have you ever heard of manifest destiny? What is manifest destiny? You know what manifest destiny is, Sharon?
It was a theory that it was God's purpose for the European people to completely go west and take the whole continent, and in order to Christianize everybody. That was their destiny.
Yeah.
So whatever they had to do in order to fulfill it, that was like okay.
That was okay. Manifest destiny meant that the Europeans were destined by God to come over here into this country and to annihilate these Indians and dispossess them and to put them in little places, prisons, concentration camps called reservations, reserved little areas. And it was all right with God because God had foreordained and predestined this to happen. And whatever they had to do that is okay. And that's part of the compromise of 1850 in the United States. And part of that was to go out and kill all of the food of the American Indians, to kill all the buffalo they could kill. They gave free bullets out for anyone that would kill a buffalo. And they would kill all game possible. And we know from history that all the way from the what we call maybe New Mexico, all the way back to New York, that great areas there called the Great Plains through Kansas and Texas and Oklahoma and also there was not just didn't just happen. The Indians created that, and they drove the buffalo from one end of this continent almost to the other. It was food on the hoof. And they protected and took care of it. Harry, we're talking about conscience, talking about morality, we're talking about civilization. We're talking about what's wrong with society right now. Every place in the world, every rampant outlaw government in the world is guilty of what we call a perversion of conscience. It is to change right into wrong and wrong into right. When Harry was a chief, and he was a chief in Deep Spring Valley, that end of the valley, he went out that way that time. Down in that valley where the Deep Springs College is, was the Paiute, the end of the Shoshone tribe and the Paiute. Harry was Paiute. I got a picture of his son. Harry was very upset with the United States Cavalry. The cavalry would come from Beatty and up and through that area. They would come over Gilbert Pass, through Fish Lake Valley, come over Gilbert Pass, go down there, and they would take their 45-70 Springfield rifles and start shooting antelope. Because they were going to put cattle in here, and the antelope were eating up too much grass. And dead antelope would be laying all over, and dead bighorn sheep would be laying all over. And Harry got very mad, because this is my people's food. So he told the commander of 224 men, I believe it is, in a platoon, Brother Roger?
Let's say a company.
A company, yes. Okay. A company of people came through there. And they kept shooting and killing animals. The bighorn sheep, the mule deer, the antelope, and they were laying all on both sides of their wagon road, dead. Never touched, just killed. He met them on Gilbert Pass, and he shot them up with arrows. Maryland's been there where you go down through there. They were setting up on the rocks, and they just started shooting down. You can kill animals like this, so you must be an animal too. I'm going to tell you something. Indians had a whole lot more firepower. It wasn't the bullets and the bullets that won the West. It was disease. Harry shot that whole bunch up. They went over there. They went down into Wyman and Crooked Creek, where they came together in a place called White Mountain City. And they rested there and bandaged up their wounds and everything. And then they went on to Deep Springs Valley, and they began to go up Westgard Pass. They got up there in the Narrows, which you've been through that Narrows. It's very narrow road. There's only one road. When they got into the Narrows, they took those 45-70 rifles and started firing them down. And all that, and there was seven people left out of a whole company of men. And they crippled into Independence, Fort Independence. Harry says, those people don't have any conscience. They're not civilized. We'll have to teach them a lesson. The only thing about an Indian, when they did a battle was for a lesson. A battle with the conquerors was just a battle. A battle to the Indians was a war, and the war was won. I taught you, don't do this. They came back, they went in there, and they completely drove all the Indians, and completely, a few of them hid up there in a cave in Deep Spring Valley, and only a few of them left. They brought them right down here to Fort Tejon, right up above us. They drove them all down here. Drove them completely out there. They didn't teach them a lesson, because they had no conscience. You can only teach a person lessons when they have a conscience. There are some crimes in society that we live in today that require penal colonies. What is a penal colony? It's a prison. And you take them in prison and you mistreat them so bad. This was a real story. Now, this was it. You take them to prison and you mistreat them and abuse them so much that they don't want to come back. But we have made penal colonies a vacation resort. So what do we have? We have people that are sociopaths that have no conscience. Even though God, in every man, there is a conscience. But we have to sear that conscience to become sociopaths. We see all of this. The conscience of man. What is it? It is a gift of God. Lost and saved man have conscience. Lost and saved have conscience. The most, what we consider the most savage people in the world, there is right and wrong. Except Muhammad. And Islam. There's always a way out. Don't lie unless it will further Islam. Don't kill unless it will further Islam. Don't steal unless it will further Islam. There's always another reason why you can do that. And they have this in all these denominations of Islam. That's why they're killing each other all the time. All of them have the same rules. If. Don't do this, but. If. But. There you have sociopathic theology and a sociopathic conscience. How can a person load themselves up with explosives and walk in a group in an airport or someplace and pull that pin and kill themselves and kill every innocent bystander and think that they're doing God's will? Because you have to sear, you have to pervert the conscience. Are you learning something? And the conscience, in the soul resides the conscience. The soul of man is the conscience. The will. The standard by which conscience judges is the intuitive knowledge of the existence of God and moral qualities with which God has endowed man. But since this knowledge has become perverted through sin, it does not form a sound basis of judgment, so we have a perversion of conscience in all people, even when they name religion. The only true standard for real conscience is the Word of God, as interpreted by the Holy Spirit. It is God's infallible instructions and God's infallible truths and right and wrong. Will. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified is a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. In 4 and verse 6 in Romans, just as David also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom God reckons the righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. And in this blessing, then upon the circumcised and upon the uncircumcised also, for we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. In Romans, the 6th chapter, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in and through and by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. It says that God many times put down the firstborn in the twins of Jacob and Esau. and that we are called by God, aren't we? How does God call us? Does God call all men to repentance? Yeah. He calls all men. It says in Romans, the 10th chapter, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Where's the faith in? What part of man does faith affect?
Our mind.
What part of man does faith affect? Man is triune. Sharon, what part of man does faith?
Our actions, our physical body.
What part of man does faith affect? Triune nature now. The soul of man.
I've already knocked out two of them, so.
Soul. The soul of man. Faith is drawn into the soul of man. The spirit is what gives you life. The body is our physical being, but our soul is our thinker. Our soul is our very essence of being. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth, what part of you is that?
The body.
The body. Jesus is Lord, and believe in your soul, your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What part of you shall be saved? What part of you shall be saved?
The soul and spirit.
What part of you shall be saved? The triuneness of man, the soul, the spirit, and the body. And the body will be saved and completed in the resurrection, the anastasia. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. The soul man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, with external, we're putting the body in, or we're putting the triuneness of man in action here. He believes in his heart, the Spirit gives him life, and the Spirit of God is convicting him of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes in him, what part of you? Your soul. Then your whole essence of everything, the whole entity of you, shall be saved and shall not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Jew or Greek, and there is no discrimination with God. All of us have the ability to come to God. For it says, whosoever will. Conscience and will. Have you learned something, Brother Roger? You glad you came here today?
Yep.
Sharon?
Yeah.
How about it? Christine? You got something, Marilyn?
Yeah.
The term will is used in two sentences. It is used inclination, and it is used as volition. And the exercise of that faculty in given situations. Jonathan Edwards was strongly deterministic. He held that every act of the will is excited by motive, and that motive is the cause of the act of the will. In that Freedom of Will in 1894, that's when in London, Thomas Nelson, in that book, quoting anything Jonathan Edwards goes way back beyond that. He denied that the will has power to choose between motives, to initiate a course of action contrary to the motive which had been previously dominant. He is therefore unable to explain how the holy being could fall. Strong observed that Edwards identifies sensibility with the will and regards affections as the effective cause of volition, and speaks of a connection between motive and action as a necessary, what we might call an impulsive and irresistible impulse. We have TULIP, total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Is the will of man free?
Yes.
Is the will of man free? Yes. Does man have a conscience? Lost and saved men, do they have conscience? A saved man's conscience is based upon what?
On his new spirit.
Yeah, on the Holy Spirit.
On the Holy Spirit. The conscience of a saved man is based upon the Holy Spirit and the Bible. God's revealed will. Do you have any questions? Who, the Mia? Do you have any questions, Christine?
I don't know.
Are you flabbergasted?
I know. I've listened to your first, the ones you did Sunday that I couldn't come to. I've listened to them 3 times already today.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Okay, now, Marna, did you hear this? Christine listened to that question, that one you were going to listen to twice. She listened to it 3 times today and once then. So you've listened to it about 4 times altogether. I've had people take some of my messages and listen to them 50 and 60 times, so they can't get any further than that. That they can't go on until they understand this message. Just go on. Because there's a time element in learning, isn't there? There's a time element in learning. Sharon, do you have a question?
I guess how I can be 68 years old and never thought of these things.
Never thought of these things before. 68 yeah. years old and never yeah. thought of them.
I mean, I thought of the conscience, but not like...
Not in the conscience of the soul and the training of the soul. Did you have something else?
No.
Nothing. Marilyn, do you have something?
Well, I think those three things work together.
That's right. God's Spirit affects our spirit, it affects our soul, and it affects our body, doesn't it? And in the redemption, God will redeem all of you, not part of you. He will redeem all of you, because the promise of the resurrection is very important, isn't it? Without the resurrection of the body and changing of the body, there is no complete salvation, is there? It's not finished. God had to send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. At the right time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem us back and to see what perfect deity could do in human flesh. You will never meet those standards, will you? You cannot act like Jesus. The Islam culture in the world today said Muhammad was the most perfect man that ever lived. I'm going to tell you something. The most perfect man God that ever lived was Jesus Christ, and Muhammad was not perfect in any means. He was a reprobate in all reality. Horrible. Probably one of the worst beings that ever lived upon the earth. Searing consciences. Are you responsible to raise your children and to develop their souls with a conscience? Is it very necessary to even live in society and civilization to do that? Sometimes I think it would be very good if our generals and our presidents went out there and fought their wars. If they had to fight their wars and make non-people out of those people. I'm going to tell you something. There's times we have to fight, isn't there? Brother Roger, you've been there. Captain Roger. We have to see that there is a necessity sometime to take life. The very foundation of human government is that a government will protect its constituents. They will give them justice. And if they are wronged, that the people will penally be corrected. Or if that is so bad a injustice that they have done to society that it cannot be paid, then they will be executed. So it will be a deterrent to other people. And public executions were always done. Why were public executions done? As a deterrent to crimes. When you see somebody die and them quit breathing because of what they did, it may affect your conscience. To where you won't consciously do that, because consciously you're going to have to face the same judgment. Otherwise, we have anarchy. Our governor, Brown, does not believe in capital punishment at all. Anybody that doesn't believe in capital punishment should not be a governor, because that's the basis of all human government. You must do this. Whether you want to or not, you must do this to have people to train their souls. You must train people's souls. And it must come from your government. It must come from your legislators, because it must come from your own hearts and your own souls. When you raise your children, you have to teach them. You must teach them right and wrong. You must teach them to have a conscience. The lack of conscience in society is called what? Sociopathic behavior. And in much of the world, we have sociopathic behavior because we don't have a standard which begins with God. God endows every man with a conscience from birth. To pervert that conscience, he has to be trained incorrectly. So we do that. The Holy Spirit is the best trainer. Brother Roger, you have any observations? What have you learned?
My conscience has been abused because I realized what I've done in the past.
Yeah. Well, our conscience convicts us, doesn't it? Especially with our children. Because God gave them to us. That's a gift. If you had to be like an Indian person, either banish them from the tribe, which probably wasn't going to be a death sentence, unless they joined up with the Comancheros, or you had to eradicate the threat. Boy, it makes you want to be a good mom and daddy, don't it? Because you are training their very souls. And as we as Christians train our children's souls, we are first of all responsible to God, but we owe that debt to our children. God gave them to us, so we owe them that debt. Christine, I saw you teach your children how to work. They have good work ethics. You were out here with them working like that. You come here, and she used to come over here when I had sand blows, tumbleweeds all over the place, and she said, Brother Jim, you need help. And here they come. And they'd be all here all day long, and she'd be out there sweating, dripping, soaking wet with wet, and all the kids would be doing the same thing, and they were doing that. And then when we got done that day, they didn't ask for money. They said, thank you for letting us do this. Whew. Training souls. Training souls. Training souls. I have a great respect when people train their children's souls. My children always used to gripe and tell I worked them too hard. Did they say that to you, Christine?
Mm-hmm. And now they're thanking me.
Now they're thanking you. Because their souls are not perverted and twisted.
And
will they make mistakes in life?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes, gobs of mistakes. But will they know right from wrong? Will they know work from laying around? Yeah.
Well, they know how to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They know how to hear when the Holy Spirit can convict them.
Listen. Listen. Your conscience is a gift. You don't want to become a sociopath, do you? Did I do all right, Marilyn?
You did fine.
Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Go out in the world. Go sick them. Pray that this message will touch hearts all over the world, because people can be saved. If you're out there without Christ, you can be saved. You have a conscience. You have a conscience. And if God is dealing with this conscience through His Spirit, then lean, go with Him. Go with Him. Go with the touching of your soul. He is touching your soul. Brother Roger, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for your word that clarifies just exactly what we should be about and allows us boundaries to deal with, so that when questions come up. Thank you for Jim taking the time to explain this to us. Guide us and direct us in all our ways, which we do. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.